in the Shulchan Aruch, Se'ifim, Yud Aleph, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, form a progression in the Rambam. Se'if Yud Aleph is the halacha that a person buys a cow for the purpose of shechting, and he shechts it, it turns out to be a treifa. So as long as you can prove that the treifa, the problem was already there at the time of the sale, then the buyer gets his money back, and it's a mechatos, he reverses the sale, in spite of the fact that he shechted it, and now the animal's dead. Had he not shechted it, he could have simply returned the live animal to the guy and say, here, treifa, your problem, take care of it. But obviously that can't happen. You can't typically check for a treifa while the animal's alive. So even though he shechted the animal, and now the animal's worthless, had it been alive, it could have been used as a farm animal, as a work animal for a while. Nevertheless, it's not his fault for shechting it, and therefore he gets his money back in spite of the fact that he now killed the guy's animal. And that's why the Rambam, the next two Seifim, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, are from the Rambam. They're based, the Mefarshim explained, they're based on that din. That first din is a Gemara about the animal that's a treifa. The Rambam learns from there that Amocher Davar Shaya Mum B'Memkaro V'Asba L'Kech Mum Acher. If the buyer made a new mum in the animal, in the item that he bought before discovering the old mum, then he still has the right to claim Mechaktos and he still gets his money back. Although it depends. The Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch says, if he did something, Davar Shadarkula so, then Potzer. The seller has no claim on him as a mazik for making the new problem, the new mum, it was something that was normal. And therefore, the buyer can get all his money back from the seller and leave the seller with the new item, with the item with the new mum in it. However, if what he did was Imshina Vasimumacher, Kodim Shivadalamum, then Machar Mechaklabailov, Mashal and Mamum La Shasa. He still has the right to get his money back, but now he has to pay the Mocher for the damage that he caused. He is responsible for the new mum that he made. This Ma explains that that's also learned from the Gemara. Since the Gemara gave the example of shechting an animal, which is normal, we somehow infer from that had he done something which was not normal, he would be responsible and would have to pay for the additional mum that he made, even though he made that mum before he realized the original mum. And then we have Sif Yudalad, which is again, this Pashas just a concrete example of the same principle. A person bought a sadin, he bought some raw cloth, a sheet or a bolt of cloth, in order to make into a chaluk, to make into some kind of garment. And then he started to cut it up, to tear it up, to make it into the garment. And when doing so, he discovered that the cloth was problematic, inferior. So again, since that was something that was normal to do, that was why he bought it. He bought it to cut up and make into a garment. So he's entitled to get all his money back, machzlo akroim, and he gives him back whatever is here, even though it's now might be next to worthless because it's already cut up and can't be used anymore, and gets his entire money back. This is the basic principle that as long as what you've done is normal, you're not responsible for what you did, and you still get the entire money back. But if what you've done is not normal, if what you've done is out of the ordinary, then the Rambam says you're chayav for whatever you did. Earlier in the Siman, also the language of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch said that when you claim Mechaktos, what the seller claims is, he doesn't have to give a refund. The seller tells the buyer, either take it with the mum and all and leave me alone, or if you want, I'll give you a refund. You're entitled to a refund, but you have to return. You have to return my item. Mertel Ghazi explains that you have to return the item, meaning, again, unless you've done something which is not normal, that you only have to return the item if it's here and you're able to return. If you did something that's, again, like the Rambam says, if you did something that was expected and normal and now you can't return the item, that's not your fault. Returning the item only means, basically, we'll discuss what he says in a little bit more detail soon, it means return it if you're expected to return it, if there was nothing else that you did that was normal, that meant it was destroyed. Now, in this Rambam, we have what seems to be, I've never seen anyone point this out, but we seem to have a major machlokas, how to understand the Rambam's din, the chiluk between normal mum and unusual mum, the second mum that was made by the buyer. We seem to have a major machlokas about whether the Rambam is talking about a case where the original mum could have been detected by the buyer before he made his new mum, or could not have been detected. This cloth that he started to cut up, in the case of treifa, the assumption, of course, is that certainly the mum we're talking about, a hole in the stomach, is not something the buyer could have noticed beforehand. But in the case of the cloth, what are we talking about? Could this mum have been detected by the buyer, the inferiority of the cloth, before he started cutting it up, or could it not have been detected? So the Prisha says the mum could not have been detected. He says, Kodim she hakriya lo hayahamum nikrabo, el b'shasa kriya, rabi hergeshu beged yashim. He says again, it could not have been detected earlier. Mum shelo havelei efshel livad kodim akriya, could not have been detected earlier. DMK, lo havelei lekrab, lo b'dika acharam mum. This hold in, basically, that you're off the hook if what you did was normal, if your second mum was something that was normal, that you're not chayef for it, is only, the preacher seems to understand, is only because what could you have done? You couldn't possibly have checked for the first mum because it wasn't detectable till after you did what you did. Once you did it, what you did was normal. There was nothing else you could have done. You couldn't have done any further checking. Therefore, you're off the hook. Asha'en came, the preacher seems to hold, if you could have checked for the other mum before you started cutting, before you made your mum, then you're chayev, even though what you did is normal. This is also the position of the Kiryas Melech Rav. Says the same thing, that the Rambam, he's medayik the lashon of the Rambam says that achakach, that you started cutting up the cloth, v'achakach no dehamum machmas akriya. Rambam goes out of his way to say that you found out the second mum because you cut it. Mashma, that you couldn't have found out beforehand. You were only found out once you started to cut. Had you been able to detect the mum beforehand, you'd be chayev, even though you did as normal, because you should have checked. He's mesupik whether the Rambam means you'd be chayev as a mazik, you still claim mechartos, but you just have to pay him for the damage of what you did, or does he mean it would be a mechila, you can't claim mechartos at all. But either way, the Rambam's din, that you refund it, that you give him back the ripped cloth and take back all your money, that din would not apply if you could have detected it beforehand. They learn, therefore, the Prisha, the Kiryas Melech Rav, that we're talking about something that was not detectable beforehand, and that's why your potter, when what you did was normal, and im kol zeh, your chayv, what you do was abnormal, even though it wasn't detectable beforehand. If you did something abnormal, who asked you to do that? And therefore, you're going to be chayv, for doing it.
So it's not really shavu l'chol nefesh. So if a tailor buys the material...
That is true, and I think some of the posts we're going to discuss make this point explicitly, then they take for granted it depends what the assumption was between this buyer and seller. Whether the buyer did something that this particular seller understood he was going to do in the context of the sale. Yes, I think that's right. The Nesivus learns just the opposite. The Nesivus says, even in the case where you did something that was not normal, you're only chayev in a case where you could have checked beforehand, kivan she'efshir livdok achar amum kodim she'neshtamish bo. Since you could have checked, that's considered not mamish pshia, but it's dama laveda, ayin sham. He says that's considered sufficiently negligent that adam amazik, based on the rule of adam mu'ad la'olam, as we explained when we learned adam amazik, that it doesn't, according to Tosis, it doesn't mean you mu'ad for everything, but it means that you have at least a certain level beyond negligence, and this ability to check means that you're chayev in a case where you made a mum that was not normal only because you could have checked. And even though you could have checked, you're still potter if what you did was normal. He doesn't fully explain why, but the Nesivus is learning just the opposite of the Prisha and the Kiryas Melech Rav. They're learning that you could not have checked and you're still chayev for an abnormal mum. The Nesivus learned you could have checked and that's why there's a distinction between a normal mum and an abnormal mum. And if you could not have checked, then you would be potter even for an abnormal mum. Machlok is mikotze al kotze. The Nesivus is mochiach this from a din that if someone borrows a cow and then leaves the cow in his estate to his kids, the kids have no idea that it's not their father's cow. They find the cow in the father's barn. They eat the cow. The halacha is they're not chayav as a mazik because it's not their fault. Tosus explains because they're an onus. Adam mazik is potter ba'onus. They're chayav because they're nana. If they're not nana, they're not chayav, the Nesivus says, but they're not considered adam mazik. So the Nesivus asks, if you're not considered a mazik because it's not your fault, then why over here are you chayev even when you make an abnormal mum? So I'm not exactly sure what the question is. You could learn l'chara that because it's abnormal. That's why you're not chayev when it's normal. But the Nesivus for some reason feels that even in the case of an abnormal mum should still be analogous to the case of the yesomim that shechted the cow in their father's barn. And therefore he says, in the Hanami, the only reason you're chayev here, even for an abnormal mum, is only because you should have checked. Only because there's a certain level of negligence for not checking, the opposite of the priest and the Kiryas Melech Rav. If you could not have checked, then you're potter entirely, even for a even for a mum, that you made that was out of the ordinary that you were not expected to do. A couple of interesting tshuvas I want to just bring down that deal with similar cases. There are tshuvas in Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Tshuva Shai deal with similar, although sort of the opposite cases. They deal with cases of a buyer who bought something from the first seller. He then flipped it to somebody else, and it's no longer retrievable. That person left town, is not Jewish, not keeping halacha. So the object is now gone, can't be returned. In the meantime, it turned out there was onah between the first two players. The original sale, there was onah. Now, the Tshuva Shai and Rabbi Akiva Eiger are talking about opposite cases. In the Tshuva Shai's case, what happened was the seller was cheated. In other words, it was worth, let's say, 100. Seller, neither of them realized. The seller sold it for only 50. Massive onah, more than a shtus, bittel mekach. Neither of them had any idea. The buyer, after buying it for 50, then went ahead and flipped it for 60. He thought he was making a great profit. Then the seller comes back to him and says, I want it back. It was worth 100. Either give me 100, either make up the other 50, or bittel mekach and give me back the object. And if you can't, then basically you're a mazik. You destroyed, you sold, you got rid of my object, so pay me the other 50. And the buyer says, what do you want me to do? It's not my fault. If you sold it to me, I that was the price we made, and I sold it. I made a profit, a small profit, and why should I pay you now the other 50? 40, whatever it is. You know, he doesn't want to pay. So the Tshuva Shai basically rules that no, that because of the rule of Adam Uod La'olam, he is considered a mazik. And he tries to bring various rayas that since, you know, jewels are hard to price properly, there is a certain level of negligence here in not having gotten a better price quote. Then he says, he assumes that this is considered a mum shadarko lasis. What he did by flipping the jewel, that was normal. I don't know if because he was a professional jeweler who was understood he was going to sell to somebody else, or jewelry always just gets sold all the time, I'm not sure. He seems to assume that this would be considered darkum to do. He says, how can I tell you that you're chayiv as a mazik, but the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, say beferish, that when your second mum is something that's darko lasos, we can't charge you as a mazik, what's the difference? So he says, he wants to suggest that the only reason, he throws in a new wrinkle here, he says the only reason the Rambam says that when it's darker to do your potter is only because there's an assumption, a presumption, that the seller knew about the mum and didn't tell you. So it's his fault to not telling you. So that's why you're off the hook. Either because we actually believe he knew, right now we still think he may have known, or even if the buyer believes the seller that he didn't know, the buyer can say, since you sold it to me, I assumed you would know if there's a mum, so I was able to assume that there's no mum. So it's completely not my fault for destroying it or for selling it or doing whatever I wanted. Masha'en Kane, something like his jewel, where the buyer knows the seller's not an expert on jewelry, the buyer has to be aware of the problem of onah. That's considered sufficiently culpable to be chayev, and therefore he rules that in this case, he's considered basically a mazik by destroying the other guy's jewel, and the other guy can indeed send him a bill for the difference between the price he paid and the fair price of the jewel, assuming it was more than a shtus.
How about the cow? How could you know that there's a mum over there?
Right, the cow pashtus, you could not know there's a mum.
Maybe it was acting sickly, maybe? I mean, how else would you know?
No, so the cow, I guess you would not know. That's why the nesivus, I guess, would learn that in the case of the cow, even if it was something shein darko lasos, you'd still be pater, because the Rambam never says that if you did something that was not darko, you'd be pater. So I guess the nesivus would learn that in the case of the cow, Yitaka always gonna be potter. Just in the case of the cloth, so I guess Yefna Ram knew that, if we can't learn it out from the cow, but in the case of the cloth, where you could have known about the mum there, the Ram is machalic between Davash Darka Lasis and Ain Darka Lasis.
The person throwing in this chilik for saying that what's it called, that it depends upon
the seller.
How can the seller know in the case of the cow?
You mean even the Shura Shai, even if he's able to answer in the case of a jewel that the reason you're potter is because he should have known.
The Rambam learns out the case from the case of the cow.
But he learns that's right. He learns that from the case of the cow. In the case of the cow, your potter, even though he couldn't have known, that's a good question. I have to think about that.
So maybe the only way we can say because some
cows do look sickly. They start from this Navna Vahalechas, you mean?
Maybe, I don't know.
But it happened only 3 days ago. It doesn't sound like we're talking about a case that was. It's a good point. I have to think about that further. I'm not sure what to say. I didn't think of that. So just one other tshuva, Rabbi Akiva Eiger's tshuva. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's tshuva was actually the reverse case. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's tshuva was, it was the other way around. The onah was that instead of the seller underpaying, the seller actually, instead of the middle guy underpaying, and now it's the Rishon who's being tavea the sheni for the difference, it was the other way around. The middle guy overpaid for it, so it was worth, let's say, 50. He paid 100. Then he flipped it to somebody else, to a non-Jew, I think, also for about 100 or for a little bit more. So he then turned around and went, the middle guy went back to the seller and said, look, I know I sold it for 100 or 110, whatever it was, but Lemaisa, I overpaid you, so I want you to give me back the other 50. So that guy says, so give me back my thing if you want it. I don't have it anymore. I can't give it back to you. So I want you to pay me the difference, and then I'll profit. It's not your business if I profit from it. You sold me something, and I overpaid for it. I want the money back. So Rikveger basically says, it would be bittel mekach, but Rikveger accepts that this would be like the case of Darker Lassus, that since, as long as, like Dr. Mann was saying, as long as we're talking about a seller who understood that the guy he was selling it to was likely to resell it, this would taka be called a mumsha Darker Lassus, and therefore we would not hold the middle guy liable as a mazik, and we would hold that he's entitled to get back the money from the first guy, except Rikveger then goes on for the rest of his tshuva saying, even though mitzad hilchos mekach tos and hilchos mazik, the middle guy would be entitled to get back all the money from the first guy. However, since it's bittel mekach, Rikveger argues any profit that he then made is really profit that belongs to the first guy. So it's true. The middle guy can go to the first guy and say, we have a mekach tos, I overpaid you, I want the money back, even though I'm not giving you your property back. So the first guy then would have to write him a check for the difference. However, the first guy can then turn around and say, okay, it's mekach tos, I refunded you all the money you overpaid, but now you stole my object and realized the profit, and that profit belongs to me. So then you turn over the profit and give it back to him. Craig then goes back and forth, whether you say that or not.
As long as it's not greater than the sale price, then we read this, really.
Okay, I don't know if he gets into ribbis. I'm not prepared to discuss ribbis at the moment, but okay, we'll have to talk about that.
I'm not prepared either. I mean, okay. It was a guess.
So let me just finish this off. So unlike the Churashai, who seems to feel that by flipping it, that's considered making a mum, that as long as the seller didn't know, and as long as you weren't relying on the seller to know about the mum, and tell you, like in the case of the cloth, the Churashai seems to think you would be considered a mazik, because adam mod la'olam. Rikveger seems to think you're not a mazik, and you could claim mekach tos in spite of the fact that you're unable to return him the object. And this is what happened in the case of the Marit al-Ghazi. He was talking about a pritar. The pritar was talking about a case where somebody sold meat. Reuven sold Shimon meat. Shimon ate the meat. The meat turned out to be treif drabanan, the drabanan de keiser. There's a question whether the buyer can now turn around and go back to the seller and say, treif meat is not worth as much as kosher meat, and I want you to refund me the difference. The big machlokas, the shach, the prichadosh, the pritar, big argument back and forth in the poskim and simon reishon l'adal, maybe we'll get to it at some point, whether the buyer who already ate the meat can still demand a refund, or at least a refund for the difference in price. So the pritar says as far as he cannot demand a refund, because he brings the language of the Rambam from the beginning of the simon, that the seller says, hachli mekri, you have to return the mekach if you want a refund, and you can't return it because you ate it. So you're not entitled to a refund. Says the Marit al-Ghazi, that's a mistake. That's how we started this whole chabura. When do we say that he can demand hachshali mekhi when the mekhi is still around? He can say, if it's around, give it back to me. Or if the seller did something if the buyer did something that was not normal or that was inappropriate, he sold the shlo kedin or made a mum that was not the derech, then fine. Then the seller can say, hachshali mekhi, if you're not returning it to me, you're not entitled to a refund. Masha'en kain, where he had no idea, there was no bidik he could have done, he sold to meat and he ate it, there's nothing else he could have done, it's completely not his fault, then there's no tain of hachshali mekhi like we see later in the Ram. The Ram Taka said, anything you did that was a derech, or if you sold it, in these cases, anything you did for which there's no possible fault whatsoever, there is no tain of hachshali mekhi, the Marit al-Ghazi explains, and you're entitled to a refund, even if you're unable to return the property that you bought.